What a fun job when you're president, when you wake up and you just want to see what else you can do just to tick somebody off, you know? I mean, which is, so did you see this morning? President Trump says, well, you guys have never managed your fire thing well in California. You're supposed to be doing these burns and getting rid of the underbrush and all that stuff.
Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that.
And raking the crap out of the forest.
That's right.
You know, getting those big dead logs and stuff out of there and the underbrush. And I know when that whole thing went down, right, people were saying to me, oh, come on, not raking the leaves. I'm like, please, have you ever seen a forest rake? You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? You know, it's a gigantic apparatus that literally scrapes all the dead brush off the floor, so there's nothing to burn.
That's what burns. Yeah. So President Trump is out this morning, and he's ordering FEMA to cut out the money to California. And boy, you know, you think the movie stars are having their panties in a wad last night, man. Jeez.
They're sitting in their walled compounds screaming and gnashing their teeth.
He said,
but when you said that about President Trump, I thought, well, that was the end of the story. President Trump got up.
Yeah.
That's how you piss off a bunch of people.
He wakes up and does something. He says this morning, there's no reason for these massive, deadly, and costly forest fires in California, except that forest management is so poor. Billions of dollars are given each year. So many lives are lost, all because of gross mismanagement of forest. Remedy now, no more Fed payments, you guys. Just get it together. We're not giving you any more money.
Well, President Trump,
great,
with all due respect, doesn't know crap about forestry management, right?
But somebody's telling him this.
Right? Somebody told him, right. That's it. And so, like, same thing with the border. You know, he was all about a wall, and then they said, well, you know, a vertical slatted fence would be more efficient.
Uh-huh.
And so he gets his information, which you got to respect that about an executive. He goes to the people, the Border Patrol guys, and says, what do you need?
Yeah, he's always said he's done that.
He's always done that. And he goes to the forestry guys, and why is California's forest burning up all the time?
How can they keep burning? Well, because they don't take care of it.
They refuse to engage. Oh, no, it's not natural.
Huh.
If a dead tree falls, you got to leave it where it's laying and don't clean it, don't move it. That's, well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they built homes all up in these beautiful places and expensive, you know, and and then the people around there said, you can't do this, you can't do that. And, you know, it just wasn't going to end well with these forest fires. It's never going to change unless they...
Of course not.
It's just not going to change, so...
You know, if I owned
Right?
Everyone knows a fire break, you know, dig a ditch and make a fire break. That's... No, you can't do that. That's earth moving. You got to have a permit to move this much earth and... Anyway, I agree with the president once again. And by the way, you know, New York City, did you catch that yesterday?
Oh, yeah, they're going to do health care for everybody.
Everybody. So I'm canceling mine. I'll tell you what.
How are they going to do this?
Well, if you get a serious illness, you just got to move to New York City. That's all.
Oh, I see. And then who's going to pay for this?
The taxpayers of New York City.
Oh, you mean like sales tax on big gulps?
York City has a separate tax, their own city tax.
Oh, I bet they
do. That's higher than the state tax, in fact. So anything you buy in New York City, I believe it's 9.25%.
The restaurants and everything cost so much.
Oh, everything
costs
so much.
They put 10% right on the top.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So they're going to divert that revenue, of course, into health care for everyone. We don't care where you're from. But I think that medical tourism was a thing in Canada for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah. But, Andrew, there really isn't any real health care going on, right? Just sick care, you know, sick care. They get more people to go in there, and they got this, and they got that, and they say, take this antibiotic, or take this statin, or take this. It's crazy what's going on. So they just get more people in that system.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not helping anybody.
Did you hear his press conference, Mayor de Blasio?
No, I didn't.
From this moment forward is what he said.
Ooh.
You remember that?
No.
Oh, yeah, from this moment forward, you know, free health care is a right, not a privilege, and you have a right to health care. So from this moment forward, you know, you're covered in New York City. And then I, of course, like I do, drill into the source. And wouldn't you know, it really doesn't start till July. Not from this moment forward. So if you're sick now, don't go to New York City, because It's not really starting until July. And then, you know, who knows what it'll actually be.
Yeah.
So I, government promises, I put them all in the same category. You know, there is, this certifies, there is in the Treasury of the United States, payable on demand, $1 in silver. Here's your certificate.
And ever since then, they lost you.
They have no credibility in my book.
Yeah. Andrew Gossin, Patrick Timpone, it is the Real World of Money. Join us, 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. I ordered 4 more half gallons of aloe on Friday. Got an email where they shipped it Monday. Should be getting it today or tomorrow. If you've not tried this aloe and you have anything going on with your tummy, even if you've got the best tummy ever and the best digestive system ever, I don't think you can go wrong with taking this superfood. And it really is a super plant that's just an amazing. And they just take the good stuff out of the aloe leaf, and they take it, they fillet it out, and then they freeze it, and they put it in a half-gallon container, and 2 is the minimum, and then you'll get that in styrofoam, and then you just defrost what you need, pour it in a glass jar, and just drink that little baby every day. And I just don't think you can go wrong with it, really. Soothes the tummy. It creates a softness down there, so you're able to withstand, in my opinion, more stressful things in planet Earth, which we tend to do sometimes. And what you want is everything down there loose and goosey and happy. And it's just tension that's causing all of these, in my opinion, these digestive problems, all the IBS thing, you know, the Crohn's, and all these digestive issues are really tension. And most of us, when we just kind of get kind of like that, you know, it goes right to the tummy. And that's why all this acid reflux and all this stuff is going on. I think this aloe can be used as a preventative for the whole system from the mouth all the way down to the bum. And it's a beautiful product. Try a couple of half gallons. Click on the ad right on the front page of One Radio Network. They'll throw in a nice tube of aloe for your face. Mix it up with the pearl serum if you want for your face. Try this aloe, and I think you'll want to just get on it ongoing. And you don't have to, you know, I do a lot of it just because I really like it. And it'll help your skin, and everybody looks more gooey as well. It's a very high-end longevity product, and it's real worth it, too, if you look at the dollars you spend. So it's called Aloe, and it's right on the front page, Aloe on OneRadioNetwork.com, Stockton Aloe 1. You can see the ad. Just click on it and get yourself some if you like. Well, Wayne Blakely, if we believe, as we're told, that like 80% of the immune system is in the gut, is that true?
At least.
Okay. So if you're doing probies with things, I mean, wouldn't it stand reason that there could be things going on in the immune system that we have no idea?
Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, no idea.
Absolutely.
No idea. Right?
No idea.
So anything, you know.
Well, a lot of it is they call it peptides, and, you know, these guys make up a lot of words. It's chemical reaction that goes on in your gut. It's all chemical. Enzyme's a molecule that's being formed. It's a certain kind of molecule. And in the body, the bacteria take those molecules, like food molecules that come down the upper tract, down into the lower tract, the small intestine tract, is converted from a food molecule to an amino acid. And then it's created a food molecule. And then when it gets to the lower tract, it's converted to an amino acid, changes it. But it has to have all the chemicals and it has to have all the minerals down there to do the conversion.
And as Dr. Richard Olry has taught us, then we need the probiotics and the good bacteria to make the minerals, and the knee bone is connected to you know what I'm saying. These are really, really nice products, about 14 different ones to choose from. Living Streams Probiotics, all in our store, OneRadioNetwork.com. Yeah, we got them all there. If you'd like to talk to someone, you know, get more information about what you might try and what you might want to do, is you just call Maryland, 360-912-2981, 360-912-2981. We got an email in last night. Somebody wanted to know, I want to try these Living Streams and what you think are recommendation for leaky gut. And I forwarded the email to Wayne. He sent it back. He said Flora PM and Multi-Blend. Flora PM, and Multi-Blend is for the leaky gut kind of thing. We had a fascinating interview with a Dr. Thomas Lewis yesterday. Boy, he's a really cool guy, really neat. And so many interesting things going on where they're learning, for example, cataracts and glaucoma, things in the eyes, are actually low-grade infections that are causing, he called them, these misfolded proteins to do opaqueness over the eye. And so this is telling us when you the cataract and the glaucoma thing, and also you can do, you should listen to the show, and you can do, just go to an optometrist, not even an ophthalmologist, but a good optometrist that has all the fancy equipment, and get your whole retina thing with some nice film, and you could work with somebody like Dr. Lewis, and they can look at the back of the eye, and they can tell you a lot of the things that's going on in your arteries and your brain to kind of cut the, do a little preventive work for Alzheimer's, those kinds of things. But it's all infections, he said, which is pretty curious. So that brings us to the probies. And he was talking a lot about the microbiome of the mouth, and the microbiome in the stomach, large intestine, small intestine. So that's why these probies are really interesting, because this is what balances out the little bacteria. This is what does it, is all the different good and good guys and the friendly bacteria getting along with each other and not fighting in the middle of the night when you're trying to sleep. You know, they're not at war, like some countries we know. So this is good stuff to look at, to consider, and it'll help you in so many ways, we think, with this, get these different kinds of probiotics and all portions. I've been doing the Bifido 2 in my ear. It goes right to the small intestine, playing around with that, which is kind of fun. Marilyn, you can get more information from her, 360-912-2981, 912-2981, and then go to our website and then order from us in the store for some of these living streams. Have you heard about the Pearlseum we've been playing with? Listen.
Previously with Dr. Rulin Chu about her product called Pearlseum.
So let's talk about the teeth first. Explain to me what's going on, because there's something magical when you dip your little toothbrush in water. Why do they look so sparkly and just, I don't know, something very energetically about the look of them?
Yeah, it's very, very magical. So like a group of scientists in France discovered that when you put the pearl next to the bones or skins or other connective tissues, and they find it stimulates new growth of the bones and skins and connective tissues, and also to make existing bones and the skins more healthy and stronger. So brush your teeth with the pearl, then your teeth will make your existing teeth stronger, and also it will filling up, you know, teeth with the pearlseum, and the pearl powder will stimulate the new bone growth and also make the existing teeth very strong.
It's really a great product. You'll love it. Take it internally or on your teeth, and you can click an order, see the ad right there, Pearlseum, the nice green container, Pearlseum, on OneRadioNetwork.com.
You bet you can. So much now is being talked about on the electromagnetic fields. Just a quick pitch here for the Blue Shield product. You get 10% off using promo code OneRadio. We're going to talk a little bit about 5G in the air. I'm going to mention it to Andrew and you in just a few minutes, but more and more, you want to get protection. I think you like this cube. You can also get a little thing you can carry around in your pocket. Got one of those that it's called the, I don't know what it's called, but you can see it. It's a little little credit card size baby, and I carry it around when I leave the house. Just put it in my front pocket, and it helps the body to withstand a lot of the cell phone tower stuff and the Wi-Fi. But this cube does 90 yards around your house, and pretty cool technology. And it's right there. It's been used in Australia for about 25 years or so. So they got a lot of research on this. So it works. And it's called the Cube. And it's on Blue Shield, right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com.
Know the source on One Radio Network. To talk to Patrick, call 888-663-6386 or email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
Okay, Andrew Goss is here. He's a currency historian, and he has two books, Secret World of Money. Uncle Sam cooks the books, working on his third book, The Monetary History of the United States. So, everything that you see in the works, I mean, when you talk about the Fed, when you talk about liquidity, everything with the dollar, there's not a whole lot that is telling us otherwise that the value of gold and silver is going to go up in value, right? I mean, there's really nothing that's saying otherwise, is there?
Right, the fundamentals.
The fundamental, what you call the fundamentals.
Yeah, the thing that Warren Buffett pays attention to more than
fundamentals.
Anything else, yeah. The fundamentals. Yeah. Yeah. So exactly, and we didn't even get to the production side. You know, new gold finds and things like that. It just the supply is not keeping up with the demand, basically, and that's it. And then once you throw in the monetary factors of what the heck is money anyway. Gold tends to shine, no pun intended.
And does it tell folks how it affects your business with numismatic coins? If gold goes up $100 or $200 in the next year, I don't know. Just pick a number.
We have the benefit of a fixed supply.
Yeah, so you have a fixed supply of coins. So, correct. And if you're doing collectible coins, you're not really. You don't see big increase in those.
No, they can't go back and remake 1924 St. Gaudens.
I'm sure there's somebody that's tried.
Yes,
like
of course.
Like Michael Tony would do it if he could, but you know what I mean.
But then, you know, another benefit of that over gold bullion, we've heard so much now about fake bars and fake gold bullion and fake silver bullion.
Pretty hard to fake a thing, a coin.
Right? Yeah, it's almost impossible. Not only that, but you have the only way that fake bars are ever discovered is the end user discovers them, meaning the companies that make the bars don't spend any money to stop people from counterfeiting. Whereas with coins, you have the Secret Service, man. Somebody starts counterfeiting silver dollars, they're all over them.
Yeah.
So anyway, I prefer a numismatic, semi-numismatic American money to gold and silver bullion, but they're made of gold and silver. So if gold and silver bullion rises, there's no way that gold and silver semi-numismatic coins won't rise, and eventually even the numismatic ones will.
But as a cautionary tale, you've said often, and we want to, if to new listeners,
short.
You don't do it short if you're only going to keep these coins for 1 or 2 or 3 years. Not good.
Absolutely, because acquisition costs are enormous, and all you need is a slight market move against you when you already, with the rare coins especially, the difference between what you can sell them for and what you buy them for can be very significant, and so you need time to get well. A coin I've been talking about lately, a double die 1916 nickel. You know, 15 years ago, you could have bought the coin for $5,000, and today it's $25,000.
Really?
And it's not even gold or silver.
Wow.
It's nickel.
No kidding.
And this was a coin that if you would have bought it 15 years ago and then tried to sell it 12 years ago, you would have lost money. So it is unfortunate. It is true. Yeah. I mean, you have to be prepared to hold them 10, 15. It better be like a legacy type of an investment that you're buying and putting them away for the long term. And if you keep that thought in mind, it's a passive income generator. So you don't get a 1099 every year saying taxes are due on what you've made this year on this coin. So that's what you want in your portfolio. Numismatic coins are great. They belong in every, you know, if you have stocks and bonds and real estate and all the other traditional investments, then there's no reason not to have a numismatic coin or two.
It's kind of neat that it's one of those things you don't have to really think about either.
Right.
That you don't really care about the price of gold. You just stash these
puppies.
You don't
have to look at it every day, right.
And say, okay, 20 years from now, we'll see where we are. Right.
That's about right.
Wow.
And the key to this, though, is what you just said, right? With every other investment, when you give your money to a bank or you give it to, you know, some brokerage house.
You're kind of looking. People say they don't, but they do.
You should be.
They do.
You
right?
should.
People say, I don't look at my, no, you know they do.
Yeah. But the last risk that you're going to have in most instances is the somebody physically losing your account or losing your, oh, I lost your stocks. No, it's not, you know, I can't find them. But with coins, especially numismatic coins, all of the risk of storage is on the individual investor. When I lay the case out to people for buying numismatic coins, then, you know, the smart guy always asks, well, what's the catch? Because it honestly sounds too good to be true. And in that vein, I would say that the catch is that you have to secure them yourself. So if someone gets their hands on your numismatic coins, you lose your money. That's all there is to it. And so if you don't have a safe and secure place to store these things, then you better really think twice about buying them, because the only way to really lose all your money in numismatic coins is to lose the doggone coin. And I can't tell you how many times it's happened in my career. So please, if you don't have a secure place to store these things, don't even think about doing it, or think hard about doing it. I know some of my customers out there are rural, or they live so far out that, you know, their whole property is secure. They just have them in the desk drawer. I can't recommend that. For me, you want a fire-secure box, or at least a fire-secure safe that's also burglar-proof. UL-listed will help if you're going to keep them in your own home.
Especially if you live in California.
Especially if you live in... But, I mean, we've had a lot of success stories in the California fires of numismatic collections that would have otherwise burned up. Instead, they were stored in secure places, fireboxes for the most part.
Because if you got like a $20,000 coin or something and the fire burns it, you might have a blob of gold.
Blob of gold.
But you only get $1,300 for that.
Or a blob of nickel in the case of my nickels. It is the catch. If I must, you know, if it's got to be a cautionary tale, that's it. And I'll say it again, the only way to lose money and lose all your money in numismatic coins is lose the coin. I mean, for sure, you're definitely out. The rest of it is, of course, strong hands, being forced to sell when it's not the time to sell. So what I counsel this, that if you sell them when I tell you to sell them, I'll never put you in that position. So that's it.
You know, JAMA.
With us, it's an extended inventory, right, Patrick? So knowing where that double die nickel is means that I can go back to it later and sell it again and again and again. And, the next generation can do the same thing. So it's important to us.
Yeah, and you used to do that on index cards too, just like Zig Ziglar, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Do it on index cards. Well,
then
George,
I guess about 3 years ago, of course, when all the hacking started, our computer tech we had originally hired didn't see the risk. I don't know how else to put that. And he urged me, "Oh no, you can take all this this index card stuff and put it on a computer." Well, the only way I would ever do that would be if it was a totally internal network, and that's what we have, a physical break, what they call
it. So you're just not hooked
net.
Up out there, right?
That's right.
So you can't, Kim.com in Australia can't find out who your customers are.
No one can, or what they own.
That's cool.
Even the internal data is protected.
So you have a physical break there. That's very interesting. You knew how to do that.
That's the only way to, that's the only way. I said the only way that this stuff gets on the internet or gets transferred
it's connected to it.
Yeah.
Right.
So let's just not connect to the internet in any way. We have an intranet within our office, but that's it.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You should work for the FBI, man.
Well, it required two machines for a long time.
Yeah.
Without giving too much away about what we do, multiple machines. You have one machine where you can connect to the internet and do whatever you like. And you have another machine where you keep your secure data. So that's the only
cool.
way
yeah,
to
I never really,
secure data.
I guess it's just such a temptation, though, to be hooked up for most people, right? So I want to transfer, send my Aunt Helen $500 and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah.
Do PayPal before boom, you're there, yeah.
Yeah, you're there.
We
have a separate machine for that.
Mm-hmm.
One of our brokers, many of you who deal with him know him, Tony, He does not care. He's like, man, the only way that I know that this is secure is that I write it in my own handwriting. He works off the paper and refuses. He refuses. Like, I'm not putting my customers' information on that thing. So
that's funny.
I got to respect that.
Well, why not? You know, why not? You know what the fifth largest GDP in the world is? Can you guess?
California.
No. Another guess?
No, I'm not.
Okay. The United States, America's healthcare system.
Oh, okay.
JAMA. Right. You know JAMA? Journal of American Medical Association. Big report out yesterday. They have, the boys have been spending $30 billion a year to market, guess what? Drugs. $30 billion a year, and spending on such ads went from $2.1 billion in 1997 to $10.1 billion. 2016, now to 30. Wow. $30 billion a year. $3.5 trillion is the healthcare system. Now you know why they don't like people who tell you you can like take care of yourself. Like now you know. That's a $3.5 billion golden goose, baby.
Trillion.
Yeah.
You said trillion.
Wow. Yeah. And it just grows because they spend $30 billion a year to keep it growing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Got a pill for this, a pill for that.
Yeah. Man, that's
I that's someone crazy. Told me yesterday that the American Journal of Psychology identified masculinity as one of the biggest psychological disorders.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Well,
oh, good. Yeah.
I know there's so much of that going on. I don't know what that's all about. It might be might be the global eye that to want to lower the population or something. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
We certainly are succeeding.
Who's spearheading all of that? Yeah.
Right. Isn't our population at a scary
point? Oh, yeah.
Like we're reaching the point of Japan where we're not having a new generation. And given the Ponzi scheme that we've established for Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security, old age and survivors insurance, right? I mean, that number has skyrocketed just to try to keep up with the number of retirees versus the number of people paying in. And if now we're adding fewer people to the workforce, which we certainly are, then looking at that 30,000-foot view, you could see why those in power want porous borders. You know, let those people come in so that we can get them paying payroll tax, which accounted for almost $1 trillion in federal revenue last year. I think over $1 trillion because we had in 2017, Social Security contributions accounted for $850 billion, and then Medicare contributions of $250 billion. So we're over $1 trillion right there in federal revenue, which they, of course, promptly borrow all of it and then put the cost of it on the spending side. So if you don't have more people entering the workforce, you don't have enough to pay for the ones that you've already promised that you're going to take care of for the rest of their life. And now I've heard two, one on each side, right? One, Paul Ryan. Thank God he's gone. We should need to cut the benefits that are being paid. And now Joe Biden, means testing for Social Security. That's what he thinks.
Yeah,
you
know
do.
That's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. As sure
been,
as I know
you've been
it's
warning
coming.
For 10 years. Scientific American says, you talk about low birth rate in spermies, 185 sperm count studies from 73 to 2011, there is a 52% decline in sperm concentration, 59% decline in total sperm count, North American, European, Australian, New Zealand men. How is that? I mean, that's huge.
You know, they're watching an awful lot of CNBC. And
man, 50% reduction from 73 to 2011? I don't know what these guys are doing. What are they doing?
They
know what they're doing, right?
They're eating processed food and they're
and taking
meds,
right? Yeah, they're taking pharmaceuticals. Well, that's a way to lower things down, right?
Like, well, I'm reaching the point in my life as I get older that every one of my friends, every one of them is on some sort of prescription medication.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Regulating their cholesterol or their blood pressure or whatever. But some of them are taking multiples of multiples.
Yeah.
And when they complain about something else bothering them, they say, you know, as a side effect of the pill, then it's okay, here's another pill. Take this one to combat
you'll be fine.
The side effects.
Low T rates. Mr. Happy's not happy because your testosterone or your cholesterol level is 120. You know, 120.
Nobody's happy.
No, we're here. We'll take this little guy. We call it Viagra. This will be good.
Yeah, right.
This will be good. Take care you'll like that. So it'll be fine. Okay. See you tomorrow. See you next week. It's a shame.
Yes.
It's almost Orwellian. What's going on?
The very same thing that occurs in your world occurs in the money world.
Well. Really?
So, you know,
that's the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing. And all of this, what's going on now with the rising interest rates and running off the balance sheet, we're treating the symptom. And the symptom is, the real cause is uncontrolled monetary growth because we don't have a standard dollar. If we had a standard dollar, then you would be forced to live within your means.
So without a standard dollar, you're saying this is never going to turn itself around. Ever?
No, they'll keep treating the symptoms. Oh, you know, let's try to control inflation through forcing whatever. And in harsh reality, all you had to do was make it a standard dollar and then force everything and everyone to live within their means. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're a federal government or a world institution or a corporation or an individual. You have to live within your means. And if you're borrowing money, you're taking money that somebody else isn't using and applying it to your economic benefit. But to allow some entity to simply create money and then loan it to anyone who needs it or any entity who needs it, well, then goodness, you've created a rash of symptoms that you're going to deal with, again, by trying to, you know, oh, well, let's stop the effects of what we're doing by controlling a symptom. So I drew that parallel early between what you do and what I do, and in reality, it is the same thing.
So it's the idea of changing your lifestyle, you know, and really changing everything that counts.
That's
or
right.
Or changing everything that counts, which is the real value of a dollar, and what is it, and what's it, you know, what's backing it in the whole thing.
Well, that's right.
And if you don't do that, it's just not going to change.
And just because they don't do it doesn't mean you can't do it. You know, Grandpa's words, if the government is foolish enough to relinquish its gold, it's every citizen's duty to seize it.
Did Grandpa say that?
Grandpa said that.
Yeah. Okay, so this ties right in, Andrew. What do you think, this is from Brett, what do you think the chances of the world going back to a gold standard, and what are Andy's thoughts on the yellow vest movement? Does he think that has any connection with President Trump nationalist movement?
Huh.
Okay, two questions. The world going back on a gold standard.
Not likely.
Not going to happen.
Well, the result of a worldwide lack of faith in paper and electronic currency. So before that could happen, it would have to be a blow-off, an inflationary blow-off. You know, Venezuela, everywhere in the world.
Something really bad happening.
Something really bad.
What's going on? Yeah.
I'm not trusting that paper or that electronic money, and I only want gold. That's the only way.
That would be huge, though, wouldn't it? I mean,
that would be gigantic. Yeah. I wouldn't even want to live through that.
Wouldn't be able to deal with
that.
Even
though on the other side, I wouldn't wish it on anyone, because no one. You look at the percentage of American individual wealth that's stored in gold or silver or coin or something like that, and it's minuscule. It's in the single digits, or as they refer to the tariff revenue, a drop in the bucket.
Uh-huh.
President Trump tweeted out, right? Billions and billions flowing in. Billions and billions, right?
Yeah, with China and the tariffs?
Yeah, and the tariff.
For the Treasury.
And oh, gosh, what's he talking about? That's not billions and billions. It's only seven.
Well, it's only
seven billion, a drop in the bucket. The crumbs, as they like to call them.
Well, one would theorize that President Trump is smart enough to know about the monetary system, being a business guy like he is.
Yeah,
I mean,
I would hope.
He's been quoted, and I've seen some of the quotes that
you know,
go back to the gold standard.
Yeah, he does understand.
Yeah. But I mean, we've talked about a bit. I know that if you just take as their word that they have 8,000 tons and you do the math, it's about $50,000 an ounce, right? I mean, that would be a pure gold backing.
Yeah.
But you've argued,
and that's only money that's physically in existence. We talk about potential money.
How would you
money.
Do that, yeah.
That number could be, you know, as high as $500,000 an ounce if you throw P into the mix. But that's why I doubt we'll ever go back to a gold standard. Like, you can't get there from here.
But you've argued that unless it's convertible, an asset-backed currency is really only something that you sell as a marketing tool.
That's correct.
Really. I mean, you know, say if someday the Chinese say all yuan is backed by, I don't know, whatever they say, or some of the Mideast countries are saying that we'd like to get an asset-backed dinar and because we've got oil and we've got this and it'll be backed by all of that. But unless you can exchange the dinar or whatever it is, or yuan for gold or some of those assets, what would it matter?
And then it's only, then you've merely converted to a counterparty risk that they are going to actually do what they said they're going to do.
Yeah.
So I would trust a gold-backed currency with one guy in charge.
If you can convert it.
Yeah, convertible, fully convertible,
uh-huh.
With one guy in charge, and then the caveat that if he ever doesn't pay the gold that he owes, he gets hanged or shot. It has to be that way because at what price does he decide, this is good now, I'll just cash out? And if he doesn't get shot or hanged, then he has no incentive to do the right thing. So, yeah, it would have to be that hardcore. And that's the way it was in the beginning. In the beginning of our monetary history, death was counterfeit. I mean, if you counterfeited the currency, they kill you. You were put to death.
Huh.
Yeah. Public hanging, you know, in the square type of deal. That's the way it should be.
I'm really surprised that nobody has come out and said, okay, we're going to do a digital, you know, crypto thing and back it by gold and really do it. Just think that somebody would do that.
Well, because you eliminate all the benefit of issuing a cryptocurrency, a no-cost.
Well, no, you don't, though. I mean, you could have the ease of transferring it or moving to Belize and have your cryptos, you know, you could download them without going through customs. And
then convert them into gold.
Yeah, right. Convert them into the local currency, but also get your gold if you ever wanted that, if you didn't like it anymore. Wouldn't there be a value to that?
Yeah, but there would be no profit in issuing such.
Oh, yeah,
a thing.
You'd have to have a cost of a buying.
That's the point.
Yeah,
I mean, at least with the cryptos or
wouldn't people
what were
pay
they calling
that too?
Coins, whatever they were calling them, ICO. Right, you're going to be part of an ICO. We're going to do an initial coin.
Well, that thing didn't last long, did it? Man, that thing
of course
just
not.
Died
because
like a,
anybody
like a
looks
dead
at
duck.
It like I did and said, "What are you kidding me? This is just the same shit the Federal Reserve
did
does.
Did you say
forgive
the
S me.
Word or no? My
I
goodness.
Did. For, oh, yeah.
That's okay.
So we're going to just take this piece of paper and we're going to put celebrities on it and we're going to issue a limited amount of these things and you should get yours now.
I understand.
Please. Give me something
please.
Where the value of the substance transfers with the actual item. And that's what gold and silver coin represents.
Yeah.
You know, they hand it over. You own it now. It's in your control. They can't create another one. They can't duplicate it. They can't, you know, it's yours.
Yeah.
That's that possession is 9/10 of the law thing. So when they have it, it's theirs. And when you have it, it's yours. Doesn't matter what the paper says. That's it. So I would urge Americans to take a look at which assets they have that are in that category. And, you know, you felt the vibrations under your feet financially, I should hope, by now. I mean, up 400 in the stock market, down 400 in the stock market, dollar strong, dollar's weak. All the fundamentals are wrong. And if you can't feel it, then, you know, maybe you don't have much wealth to think about. And that's okay, too. But if you've gotten to the point in your life where you actually have a little something and you're worried about what it might be worth 10 or 20 years from now, well then, hey, welcome to my market, and I think you'll love it.
You talk about contagion. I love that word, where things just kind of connect. this wildfire thing. There's all kinds of lawsuits saying that PG&E started a lot of these big guys because they had junky equipment out in the middle of the woods that blew up or whatever. Man, PG&E has been downgraded to junk status, launching a countdown to an $800 million collateral call. Their stock is like just in the toilet. And this is going to not, you know, it's really interesting that you were one of the guys, you know, that were really warning against getting involved with these different, what'd you call the stocks? The different stocks that are owned by the county and the city and the state, like these things. What do you call them?
Well, those are agencies.
But, you know, investing in different city bonds. Oh, city bonds.
Municipal.
Municipals. Yeah, municipal. That's bonds. The word I was looking for. Sorry. Municipals. Yeah. And...
well, in this case, these are quasi-municipal. Yeah. They're utilities. But the main thing to remember is as long as they're AAA, then there's demand for them because they're eligible for all sorts of pension funds and hedge funds. You know, when they put the rules in their charter and they say you can't buy anything that isn't AAA rated, right? And so now when the rating agencies downgrade them,
which is what's going on,
it's not
on
that
now,
no one will buy them anymore. It's that anyone who has them must sell them.
They That's must the sell them, yeah.
They have to.
Yeah. PG&E, it's being downgraded.
Must be
and some
sold.
Of them, the company by five notches from BBB minus to B, the fifth highest junk rating. S&P warned that more cuts are imminent. Woo.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of pension funds, I guess, who have this. These bonds.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sure. And bonds like this.
I'd like to be the new incoming governor with all this stuff going on in California. Jerry Brown must be feeling really pretty good right now, man. He said, I got out of there.
Got out just in time. Yeah, but this new guy is, he makes
What's
Jerry Brown
name,
look like
guy?
An arch conservative. Newsom, I think is.
Is he, you mean he's more Libby than Jerry?
More Libby than
Jerry. Is that Jerry. Possible?
Yeah, sure, it's possible.
Really?
Of course.
He's more of a Libby
Jerry
than
was pretty. We'll be looking back for the days when that was our definition
Jerry
of
Brown,
a liberal.
Yeah, we're talking about. Yeah. How long was he governor anyway? Long time.
Yeah, long time. His dad was governor too, right?
I mean, oh, that's right, yeah.
He's been preaching those ideas since the 60s. And, he made a generation of converts that are more socialist than he is, if you can imagine such a thing.
Is there a way to short California real estate?
Can you just short California?
Can you just short California? That's the big short there, man.
The thing that amazes me,
I don't know if you know what I mean.
Did you catch Ocasio?
I see your name. Delete the article. I can't even see. She's just out of control. What's she up to now?
So Occasional Cortex suggested that we should be explained what marginal tax rates are. And as I'm listening to her,
This
woman has never... Yeah, she was explaining to us, when you have a 70% tax, it's not on the whole $10 million. It's just the $10 millionth dollar. We'll tax that when it's 70%. So the rest of it, you know, is at regular rates. She was explaining the...
Oh, good.
Marginal or graduated income tax to us like we were a bunch of people like her who probably had never filed a tax return or never, anyway, forgive
I know,
me for
man.
Being so. She
well,
may,
they're the, star,
she
they're,
have,
they're
I don't
the
know,
stars
but,
of the party, right?
Right. She's suggesting the 70% tax. I love the, and I've boiled it down what her proposals will cost us. My goodness gracious. Retrofitting every building in America.
She's just saying stuff. You know?
Yes, go read the
No, I can't stand it. No, I just can't.
Yeah,
no,
the
my
Green
head
New Deal.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and it should.
Yeah, I just can't.
Boggles
even deal
the
with
mind.
It.
I put the cost so far at $70 trillion. It's $70 trillion. A New Deal. It's a New Deal like Roosevelt gave us, her hero. You know, the idea that you're just going to create a bunch of money and tax a bunch of people. But the middle class is unfortunately where the taxes are. Individual income taxes are like 55% of revenue. Payroll taxes are like 60% of revenue. You know, the idea of tariffs, 3%, 4%. I'm telling you, there's a whole class of taxation that we haven't even explored yet. So they suggest higher, much higher taxes. But in exchange, we're going to give you some free college and free pseudo health care and things of that nature.
And a guaranteed income.
Oh, and of course, the part that really warmed my heart.
Yes.
You can call me Nostradamus again.
From Occasional Cortex, or huh?
Yes, it was the guaranteed minimum income.
Oh,
yes,
good. We need that.
Gotta have that. Gotta have it.
You know, I don't wish anyone ill, but I tell you what, all of the Libbies out there that are buying into this whole socialist Beto Occasional Cortex stuff, are they going to have a surprise someday if these guys get in?
Oh yeah,
man, I tell you, because they don't understand fundamentals of life, you know, much less money. They don't understand.
You could just go to Sweden. Live there for a while, and so you know the people in those countries
are
reported to be the happiest folks on earth. You know, they really don't worry about anything. You know, their rent, their paycheck, any of that.
Not taxes all of it are 60% too, right?
Yeah, no, they just, you know, whatever they make, they just give that to the government, and then the government worries about everything. They don't worry about anything.
Oh, I want to go there.
I know, and you can. That's the thing. See, why try to remake what we have here?
Yeah, just go over there, man.
Just go there. Go to Norway, go to Sweden. They know how to take care of you there. No question about
it's
that.
It's really funny. Remember all of the at the movie stars that were talking about, you know, Streisand and Cher and I don't know, all these people, right? I'm going to move if Donald Trump becomes president. Right. Well, they didn't move, of course. But then all of the people, just think of all the pro-Trumpers that would move for real if, you know, a Beto or Hillary or, you know, somebody gets in and, you know, they will move, you know.
No.
They will. They'll go.
I found the new paradigm. I didn't realize this was an option.
Okay.
Yeah, it is resist. I didn't know president was elected that you could just say, oh, no, Ian, not my president.
I'm not going to do that.
That's good. I'm patiently waiting for that.
Be my president.
That woman called the president an MF-er, a congresswoman, right? I'm thinking, well, I didn't know that was cool. I would have known 5 years ago that was cool. President Obama was not my favorite president, to say the least. And still, I realized, well, he's the president. You know, as much as I disagree with his policies, I'll criticize him, but he's still the president. So when he makes a decision, that's the decision. I got that. But apparently, I didn't have to do that.
No, not anymore. Not anymore.
Yeah, I'm happy I know.
No.
I didn't know. And as for the yellow vest movement there.
Yeah.
You know how that is. That's people taking back their country, and I'm happy to see it, especially in France, because those were the most socialist folks in the whole world.
Here's a phone call. Who's this, please? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Patrick. This is Roger from Florida. Good show, guys, as usual.
Thanks, Rog.
I had to call this in. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Okay. When I was listening earlier, I was on drugs, and I'd taken the week down, but... they said some young guy found a 1943 copper Lincoln cent, of which they say they only made 20, and they're saying it could bring, they're saying 10 years, back in 2010, went $1.7 million. So what I think I'm going to do is stop using my plastic and start paying cash so I can get change, and start checking my pennies.
I've counseled that for years.
They said Andrew probably knows about this. They said it was made by mistake. They only made 20 of these coins, so it just.
Do you know about this coin, Andrew? He's talking about.
No, which year is this?
1943 copper Lincoln cent.
Yeah, and 20 is all that are known. But see, you know, I've investigated how they were made, and at the same time we were making coins for the Philippines, the centavo was done on a copper planchet, and you know, a great many of the rarities were struck surreptitiously by Mint employees. But in this case, I really believe that the 43 copper cent was literally struck by accident, and then made its way into circulation. Usually, when they strike them surreptitiously, like you know, show up at night and make their own coins. They have all five of them. You could trace them all or all 20 of them to one source. But these coins were literally spread into circulation.
Uh-huh.
And they're sitting in cent jars all around the country. Not only is there a 43 that's made of copper, But there's also a 44 that's made of zinc, the steel scent or the white scent, which is what the copper. So the idea was we took all the copper for bullets, and so we started making our pennies out of steel. And accidentally, somebody made some 43s in copper, and somebody made some 44s in steel, but they were all circulated. So they didn't come from a single source, which leads me to believe that it wasn't surreptitious. It was legitimately an accident. And so they're out there, and people find them, and the nicer they are, the more they're worth. So I'll be curious to see what this one auctions for, but it's just another example of a fortune in pocket change. It's just sitting there in change jars all over the country and all over the world. And when they finally find their way into numismatic circles, then they really yield the prices that they should.
Yeah, this article was interesting. They said somebody found one back in 1947. I think they said that it finally sold for like $100, which was, you know, pretty good money back then.
Sure.
And they even had a rumor saying that Henry Ford had offered to give somebody a new car if they had, you know, they could produce one of these coins. So anyway, that's about it.
Okay.
The other thing is Jeff Bezos, he might be having to sell the Washington Post. He's going to get a divorce. So he's not going to be the richest man in the world much longer.
It's only going to cost him, I think, about $80 billion. Nothing. Chump change. No problem.
But his wife is going to be one of the richest women in the world.
That's right.
So
she's going to be one of the richest.
There's the trade-off.
Yeah. Thanks, Roger. Yeah, I looked on Drudge. I couldn't find what the article about the penny. I'm on there now. But so,
Yeah, 43 copper. It's there are probably about a half a dozen coins that you can still find in circulation that are worth significant money.
Really?
In 1972, we made a cent that had a doubled strike, and you can see it on the date. You can see the date twice. You almost think like you got double vision. And it's the same for the 1955, more famous, double die. And then again, a 1995 double die. And these are modern dated coins that have just been accidentally struck twice.
I see.
And therefore, well, the die is doubled. So it transfers to the coin. And you can, it looks like you're seeing the date twice on this coin. And they're right next to each other, right? It's not in a different place. It's right on top of the other.
I'm going to start looking at my pennies. I'm going to start looking.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
You never know.
And while we're on the subject, you know, when I was a kid and they took the silver out of dimes, if I could go back and how many dimes would I get, the answer would be all of them. I'd try to get as many as I could because today that silver dime's worth, like, you know, depending on what it is and if it's any kind of numismatic, but at least a dollar and like 30 cents based just on its silver value. So if you could gather up all the pennies that you can that were made before 1982.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can get those for face value, but the copper in that penny is already worth more than the face value. And as time goes on, I mean, it costs you virtually nothing to put away pre-82 copper cents. If it was made after 82, make sure it's not a 1995 double die, and then throw it back into circulation. So just that. It's like urban gold, Patrick. You know, I think 10 years from now, those will be nickels, and then 5 years, they'll be dimes. And so it's they just continually be worth more based on their metal content. And just like the silver dimes, you know, 2030, you'll be saying, well, if I could go back to 2019 and pull all those out of circulation that I could, how many would I get? Try to get them all. Anything before 59 is, of course, a wheat cent. It's already worth a nickel. So
there are quite a few, like Roger was talking about, really
significant
yeah. dollar.
What my wife calls bingo.
Bingo.
She sits there.
Looks through the ball.
Looks through pennies and says, you know, every now and then you hear her go, bingo, I got one. And, you know, so she'd find a date. But I, you know, the $1 million coins, sure, they're out there. But, I mean, how many $30, $40, $50, $80 pennies could you stand? So that's what she calls bingo. I guess she would call finding one of those hitting the lottery, but, you know, she's on the lookout for the 44 steel. That's the one. So I have thousands upon thousands of steel cents, and Cindy has said, she already asked me going in, if I find one, can I keep it? And I said yes.
Can I keep it?
So For that, I get all of the other ones sorted. I think that's a pretty good deal because she's already found a couple of 43D over D double dies that are worth $30, $35. So the more you look, the more you find. Please look at your coins, folks, especially the old ones. Don't let them go by. I had a New Year's Eve party. I met a gentleman from Merle's Inlet up the coast of South Carolina who said, "Oh, yeah, I got a coin collection. It's been in the family box for 70 years. Haven't even looked at it in 20.
Really?
Don't do that. Mm. If you have an old coin collection, first of all, you need it curated. Notoriously, in the 50s and 60s, we used polyvinyl chloride in the flips, the little envelope, the clear see-through envelopes that the coins are contained in. And that stuff, polyvinyl chloride, PVC, it leaches onto the coin and destroys it over time. So if you have an old coin collection, it needs to be curated. You want to make sure that it's properly stored. That's why we like NGC. They take care of that. You know, if there's any grime or grease or something on the coin that can be removed without affecting its value, they'll do it. And then that's a fee. And then they'll put it in a hard plastic holder. That's a fee. And authenticate it and say, okay, it's real and it's not cleaned and it's original and so forth. So, you know, you really need to take care of your coins. If you have an old coin collection, we said before, you need to put them away and forget about it. Well, that's a coin you buy from me because it's already been curated. It's already been put in a hard plastic holder. It's going to maintain its condition for the long term. You need to make sure that coins you already own are done that way too. We'll be happy to help you with that. If you need a collection curated, call one of our brokers at 800-468-2646, and we'll guide you through that process so that at least you can take care of what you have. You know, treat it like it's worth what it is.
Good job. Curate, baby. Sometimes I dream about I should have curated a car that I purchased when I got out of the Navy. A 1969 sure. Austin Healey Sprite Yellow. Oh, what a car. $2,100. Mm-hmm. I always remember. I think my payment was like $35 a month or something like that. Yeah. And I bought it brand new and I brought it home. Just think of you stuff that thing in a garage, you know, on a rack or as they say. What would you get for that now? I wonder.
Well, you know, there's something else to that, Patrick. That's kind of fun. Obviously is. As you know, if you would have taken that Sprite and put it on blocks and just left it sit, well, now you'd be replacing brake components and other parts that just rust and plastic and rubber grommets that
rot. It wouldn't have stayed cool. I would have had to curate it or something, put it in plastic.
You got to take care of them. And for automobiles, as much as they're a great investment, they do require much more upkeep, and folks who generally buy those love them anyway.
Oh, they like to tinker with them.
They like to go out and tinker with them and drive them around. Really, I guarantee you this, your numismatic coin will never leak oil in your garage. You'll never find yourself being forced to look at it. You can literally put it away. If it's properly curated, you put it away. And it'll last decades upon decades without needing any further attention.
So, you know, of course, you wouldn't do it now because what's a 2019, Mercedes this is going to be worth 40 years from now? Nothing, right?
They are making unusual collector cars even today.
Like a Tesla.
That are limited in supply and that sell for big money. And you can buy them and put them away. But that put them away part, that's the hard part.
Yeah, that's
it's not as easy as with a numismatic coin. You know, it's small, compact. You can put it in a vault. Generally, if you're going to buy a collector car, you really want to keep it indoors, so you need a garage. And well, look at Jay Leno. He got a whole garage, and that's of course what he does. His passion, like mine, is numismatics. His is old cars. Not only is he a wealth of knowledge, but he knows how to take care of them as well.
Yeah. You've often taught us the idea about something that is limited in number and the people want. This article. Every year, if you go to the Tokyo Fish Market, fishmongers, they bid to try to outbid one another for the first bluefin tuna of the year.
That's right.
Do that. So this year, $3.1 million for this tuna. Can you imagine that?
Sure.
What would you do? Who would you care if you owned that? You'd have to kill it and eat it. I mean, that's so... I don't even get this.
A friend of mine on the Jersey Shore...
Why would you do that?
...has a boat that's solely for the purpose of trying to catch a bluefin tuna. And he, every single waking moment that he's not working, he's out on his boat trying to catch a bluefin tuna. And because, as he told me, you know, you're talking like a $50,000 fish.
Why? Who would give you $50,000 for
it? Immediately. Like, they look, they bore it, and look at the consistency of the meat, you know, and I don't know anything about them, so I don't want to pretend that I do, but the concept is the same. They're very limited supply, and they're very desirable for sushi. So if you're a chef who's already charging top dollar and you want the best, well, then you put your bids out. And as Bobby describes it, he comes into the dock, and there are guys there waiting to see if he's got anything. So
that's crazy.
It's easy enough to sell it if you have it. So that's the thing with numismatics as well. If you have them, it's easy enough to sell them. It's harder to buy them. The guy on the dock has a much harder time, but I suppose in this instance, Bob has to fish the thing out of the ocean, so, you know, got to go way the heck offshore and find the one. I think there's a yellowfin and a bluefin, and the bluefin is the one they
have. Yeah, yellowfin and bluefin. The FCC gave approval to SpaceX a couple of months ago to launch 4,400 satellites, a low orbit around Earth. You know what they're going to do? They're going to be 5G everywhere.
Yeah, sure.
And they got a whole plan here.
Antennae.
SpaceX, 12,000 satellites. OneWeb, 4,500. Boeing, 2,900. Spire Global, 1,000 satellites. They're going to have 20,000 little satellites, low orbit, doing 5G to blanket the Earth with these wonderful, powerful rays. Isn't that wonderful?
We've all heard of satellite phones. They're just going to make them ubiquitous now. I imagine they'll need to deploy some traffic cops up there, too, because in low orbit,
I'm going to invest in Faraday cages, man. I'm just going to do a Faraday cage is the only way to deal with that.
Well, that might work. Yeah. You might be okay. You're going to live in it.
Yeah.
Hey, just don't go out. Yeah.
Have you been following on me about this before we go? This whole FBI theft of 18,000 documents linked to September 11th. Have you seen any of this stuff?
Yeah,
some guys.
A lot of that stuff has gone missing because, well, for years, you know, I think that'll be our Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, the 9/11 thing. Yeah.
The 9/11.
We're never going to know, is what you're saying.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's so clouded and so vast that there are folks out there that spend their full time just digging. Mm-hmm. And trying to find documents and links. So the latest treasure trove, I think the one you're talking about, is the insurance company.
Yeah, Lloyd's of London and Hiscox, the law firm,
right.
Blackwell, Ooh. Sanders, Piper, and Martin.
Correct.
The law firm that
they're lawyers.
All, yeah, they're lawyers.
Yeah, so
but somebody cracked them, right?
Somebody hacked them.
The dark side, the dark overload.
Right. And when the insurance companies hire investigators to do their own independent investigation, they're not interested in cover-up. They're interested in transparency and revealing what really happened. And unfortunately for the government, who is anxious to cover up a lot of the things, look at the commission. Were you going to investigate where the money came from? Well, no, it was such an insignificant amount of money, we don't care where it came from. And the insurance companies, of course, dug into that and dug into other things that made connections that government just doesn't want made. That's all there is to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in the case of 9/11, it was either made it happen or let it happen. Those are kind of the only two schools of thought. You know, the idea that it was some random accident really is off the radar. Some, you know, 19 guys with
nobody knives. Believes that anymore.
Yeah, not many.
Not many people believe that anymore.
And just like the Warren Commission, the Keene Commission, which investigated the thing, that report's been pretty much discredited, again, by the same people who are anxious to get this information and will continue to dig for it for our life.
Mm-hmm. People are buying more homes. These mortgage rates are tumbling. Why are they going down, mortgage rates?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
The home builders. I know that the week the week before, the Secretary of the Treasury got in touch with the six member banks that make up the Plunge Protection Team, or the President's Working Group on Capital Markets. What I find more interesting is, of course, the home builders index plunging over the last month. So while people might be buying more homes, they're certainly not buying more new homes. And as a result, the home builders are having a hard time keeping their stock prices up, which, of course, bleeds over into the stock market. I would not be a real estate investor right now. I think until the dust settles and the marketplace finds its footing, you got tons and tons and tons of commercial space. Malls are closing. Stores are closing. And so the biggest place for investors to invest, more most available, is, of course, these real estate investment trusts, which are, you know, sitting with space that they can't rent. And as a result, their revenues are falling and their stock prices or their share values are falling. So I would be very leery of the real estate market right now, even though they may try to artificially stimulate it. The harsh reality is that they're just too damn expensive. So prices have to come down, especially for residential real estate in key markets. So, yeah. I mean, I know how it is in Austin.
This was just a little bump. This was just a little bump last week, I think, with refis.
Yeah.
You know, just last week as the mortgage rates went down a little bit. But I think they're still close to 5, aren't they, Andrew, for a 30-year fix?
Yeah, 5.25, 5.5.
Now I'm seeing 4.8 this morning.
You can get, I'm sorry, what did you say?
I see 4.8 this morning.
4.8.
30-year fix.
What is it? 30-year fix?
Correct.
Well, that would have to be the most preferred rate.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's if you're a good guy and you pay your bills and stuff like that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I agree with you. With everything going on, it'd be a pretty dicey thing to be investing in real estate right now with everything that's going on, right? It's
like, nah. Well, given all the manipulation that occurred, remember when they drove 30-year mortgage rates to sub 4%, then the number of buyers was at its greatest point. And with so many buyers and such a fixed inventory, of course, prices rose. And now that rates are rising again, then the number of buyers is shrinking. And the more it shrinks, the more prices will either stop rising or actually fall. And I know here, having made my second visit to Hilton Head Island in a 1 year period, right? Three. But the last year, I do the same thing in the wintertime. I analyze the local markets. And I see a lot of the $2 to $5 million houses that are still on the market have been lowered by 10 to 30% in price. So just that high end of the market is just not selling here. Now, conversely, anything 500,000 or less gets snapped up like a hotcake. Mm-hmm. So it is a secular type of a thing.
Yeah. These kinds of things are going on, too, to keep that $3.5 trillion healthcare thing booming. UK scientists are testing a breathalyzer. They're going to be able to detect early cancers. So you just breathe into this thing, right, at your doctor's.
Jeez.
Yeah.
A breathalyzer for cancer?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just breathe in there, and we've got some. And they're going to identify some cancer cells in molecules in the body, you see. So that's really good. You should do that.
You get right in line for
get right in line, man. Whatever, yeah. Just get in line. My goodness. Oh, well, ADP payrolls. ADP payrolls, 271,000, most in 2 years last month, so.
Yeah.
Things are still,
I think that's because of President Obama, I'm pretty sure.
No, of course. No, I think it was. Mr. Obama should be given credit for that. Well, yeah. Mr. G, it's always fun having you here, kid. I think we're just going to go out and sit in the sun. We got another sunny day. How about the weather there in Hilton Head?
I've been riding my bicycle to work.
Good for you, man.
Every single day. Wow. That should make you environmentalist happy.
We're proud of you.
A little nip in
no
the
carbon
air today,
footprint for you, dude.
No carbon. No, sir. Other than the breathing part,
I'm going to tax you riding your bicycle, right?
Yeah. So it is a nice clear blue sky day and a great day for bike riding. So that's what I get to do both.
Good for you.
Go to work and ride a bike. So I get to do that until the weather turns and I won't be happy anymore.
Oh, you mean, so you guys do, you do have a winter there?
40,
Yeah, that's your winter, yeah.
It's too cold to ride a bike.
Kind of like us,
Yeah.
We don't do winter much here. I'm looking forward to spring already. I mean, it's, almost mid-January. Hey, man, it'll be spring before you know it around Texas.
Nothing
Yeah.
Nothing like spring.
All right, kiddo, give your phone number there in the Hilton Head, where you are, or Jersey.
Okay, and I want to add that we brought in a new batch of the CDs. If you haven't,
Oh, cool.
A lot of folks were waiting for those, and the new batch came in, and we shipped all of the back orders. So if you were waiting for the CDs from the show, you'll get those. There's three of them, right? The Definition of Money, Protecting Your Wealth, and what is the third one? Gosh, I can't even
Federal Reserve,
my
right?
own. The Federal. Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
So the Federal Reserve goes in depth into, you know, what this entity is, how it operates, and so forth. And you can get all three of these CDs at no charge, along with all the coin propaganda we can stuff into an envelope. And all you have to do is call 800-468-2646. Say that you heard it on the Patrick Timpone Show. We'll send you the three audio CDs and some background literature on them as well as on the coin market. You don't have to buy anything to get them. Just call 800-468-2646. And if you don't want the coin literature, feel free to say it. You know, I don't want any, can't afford it, or whatever it might be. And we'll be happy to send you just the CDs. Call us again, 800-468-2646.
And you too then can join us next week for more Words of Art. Like Occasional Cortex. That's my favorite so far today.
Well, thank you.
Hey, I really like it. I'm going to use that. Thank you. All right, Andrew. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Love you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Andrew Goss, Patrick Timpone. It is The Real World of Money. And we'll have the show up in a couple of hours or so. Also, we're going to be doing an order for Sofra any moment now. So if you'd like to get some, just kind of get it in. We'll see you tomorrow. We're going to be talking about, let's see if I can bring it up to my state of consciousness here. Burp, 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 burp. Okay, breathe. Boom. Oh, yeah. Okay, I think I got it. Yeah, we're going to do a ketogenic diet with a doctor who says teach you how to keto. And then we're also going to do incline to bed therapy tomorrow with Andrew Fletcher. So that'll be fun. We'll see you tomorrow, 9 o'clock. I love you all very much. Thanks for your ongoing support of purchasing the products that we promote. And also supporting guys like Andrew, who supports us. So, you know the source, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.